He's not slow. If you still believe in some of that stuff,
he's a top 20 base runner in Major League Baseball. I mean, granted, there's a drop off between the top tier and him.
But I think that he's one of the best. I mean, now that I'm glad that it actually has a statistical basis, but
yeah.
You can watch him and tell that he's one of the best base runners in the game.
Good corner cutter.
He's great first to third. He's great second to home. He gets good reads. He doesn't get like magical reads like Javi. Like some of the times, like Javi's like, you're like, how did you know that ball was going to drop?
The Jose Valentin reads.
Yeah.
Well, you got to know too, at his size, getting it started takes just a little bit longer.
Sure.
So he might have, believe me, he might have that read, but knows that it's going to take me just that extra, you know, half second or nanosecond to get everything going in the same direction.
Yep. So I'm okay if that's what they want to experiment. But the other part of it for me is we don't know what David Ross is like as a manager anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So do we know that he is going to be married to, well, this is my lineup and this is the way that the lineup's going to be because guys should know where they're going to hit every day.
There are others like it, but this one is mine.
Or is he going to do some of the stuff that Joe did where, you know, I'm going to see how it goes. And there'll be times when I feel like I need to move Rizzo up to the top of the lineup because of the way that he approaches hitting leadoff, or maybe I do move Bryant down if he's healthy and he's driving in runs. Like I don't know what he is as a manager. So for me, hearing Bryant say that he's open to it, I think is good. I think that all in all, Bryant's approach to entering Mesa has been spectacular.
But he kicked the door down this year, didn't he? He
announced your presence with authority.
He didn't hide. Like, it would have been very convenient for a guy whose name was swirling around trade talks to go, I'm gonna keep a low profile this spring. And he hasn't. He's been very forward with, I want to be a Cub. They didn't offer me $200 million. I think this team can win. I think that I can be a part of it. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, including hitting me leadoff. I think that's a good way to approach it. And I'm not surprised at all. Like that's one of the things that I really respect about him is he is the ideal professional and he carries himself as such. And to me, that's something that should be celebrated. So I'm going to spend a little time doing that today. We need to talk about Rob Manfred.
Oh, Lord.
Did you guys listen to Rob Manfred yesterday?
Just watched the whole thing live, yeah.
I was watching it, and I was going, I did a whole pod last night about how, to me, the commissioner of baseball seems like a guy who doesn't like baseball. And I know that he grew up a Yankees fan. I understand that he's been involved in baseball for forever. But he seems like he's the kid who's really tall. Then someone's like, you know what? You should play basketball.
Eddie Curry.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred is the legal equivalent to that. Like, oh, do you kind of like baseball? Yeah, kind of. You should go work in baseball.
He was there he's in his job to win a contract negotiation, to win a collective bargaining.
That's my
agreement.
Point.
That's what he's
doing. My
he's
point is that he's a guy that kind of likes baseball. And really loves contract law. And he was able to marry the two, but the one right now is more important than the other.
Where Bart Giamatti was literally a poet about baseball, who wrote gorgeous things as
even
as an
Bud
ode
liked
to
the game more than this guy.
Did I ever tell you my Faye Vincent story?
No.
We went, my college roommate and I, senior year, this is the spring of 91, and we were driving down to Key West. We had gone to we said, look, let's go to the ACC tournament in Charlotte, watch a bunch of games, and work our way down to Key West and meet everybody down there. So we watched two games of the ACC tournament, said, let's get the hell out of here. This sucks. So we sold all our tickets, and we drove down. We stopped in Vero Beach and hung out at Dodger spring training. That's where I got to sit down with Vin Scully, and it was all open and carefree, and everybody's everywhere. And from there, we went to Fort Lauderdale to go to Yankees spring training because Deion Sanders was coming through with the Braves and we wanted to see that. And because that was a big deal, it was a huge story with Deion Sanders playing baseball. So we're there and it was 11 in the morning, bright sunshine. And we had these big 16-ounce beers and clear plastic cups. We got our shirts off and we are literally lying on top of the Yankees dugout on the concrete top of the dugout, just splayed out in the sun. There's nobody at the game. It was just cold beers. And I look up, I'm like, is that Faye Vincent walking in? And he's like, oh, is that Faye Vincent? And it was. And he's kind of walking by. And we both get out, hey, commissioner! And he stops. And he kind of walks a little bit toward us. He goes, hey, what's up? I'm like, can we buy you a beer? You want to take your shirt off and hang out with us?
And, so bro-y.
We're college seniors. And he gives the most like sincere. He says, guys, I totally want to do that. He said, I absolutely would love to do that right now.
But so, I'm the commissioner of baseball.
He says, I've got meetings. I'm here for a bunch of meetings. He said, but don't get me wrong. If you ever see me again at a game, he said, I'll buy you a beer. He said, I absolutely would love to join you. And he meant it.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Like, you love that's to really hear cool. that. But I don't feel like that's what Rob Manfred is. I think Rob Manfred is someone who is a highly effective lawyer and executive that has been overpromoted to being commissioner of a game that he doesn't really love.
Definition of a suit.
That's a good thing to call him. So I'm going to spend some time on that too. Gentlemen, have a wonderful rest of your day. That's Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They're here every day, 9 a.m. until noon. I am here every day from noon until 2. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and the top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
But seeing Dwayne Wade cry at being mentioned with the Chicago Luminaries, like that, it was the most Chicago-ish ever. And I'm glad. And I'm glad that people around the world got to see what we are about. And it's a stupid thing to take pride in, and I freely admit that. But for one night, we got to be our best. For a weekend, we were our best. We put our best stuff forward. And for the most part, the world was like, damn, Chicago is lit. Yeah, that's what we've been trying to tell you for years.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Yeah, man. We have a ton to talk about today. I'm looking down at the list of different things that I wrote down for today's show. It's pretty extensive and could go into a lot of different areas. So we're hoping to do that on top of the things that we planned for today's show. At 1 o'clock, there was a press conference that the commissioner had yesterday. We're going to run you the most relevant stuff from it, let you hear, because maybe you don't even know what Rob Manfred sounds like. So we're going to run it. We're going to let you hear it and then have a discussion on the other side of it for sure. The Bulls have injury news. Wash, rinse, repeat with the Bulls. So we're going to get into that. We'll talk about the Illini's big win. There's something statistically that could happen tonight that is most frustrating for yours truly. But we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here's your rundown for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. It didn't take long for John Beilein to be like, I don't like it. He's basically Jaden Smith in The Karate Kid. I hate it here. I hate it here. And no longer is he the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It was a complimentary where I was saying we're making a lot of mistakes mentally, and we deserve better because we're really playing hard right now. We're not playing like slugs. We're playing hard, and somehow that worked out.
Yeah, not like thugs or slugs. It's interesting how like some guys that make the move from college to pro, when they realize it's no fun when the rabbit has the gun, that you're now dealing with empowered millionaires. So that's bad. Campy, what do you think about this?
Well, The Athletic put out one of the "this guy got fired, so let's empty the notebook" type articles. And apparently right after that happened with the thugs versus slugs, every time John Beilein was within earshot, they had like a playlist set of songs that had thugs either in the name or in the lyrics. So they would hit it every time he came by.
You talk about a fish out of water, man. Oh, that's too bad for him. But he doesn't belong, and now he's not going to be there. Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, you'll hear more of this later on, but Rob Manfred apologized for calling the World Series trophy that has his name on it a piece of metal.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way, and I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it.
Yeah. Even though in the "I'm not making any excuses," you offered multiple excuses on why you said what you said about the commissioner's trophy. I'm telling you, the guy who runs baseball doesn't love it. And that's okay, but it is becoming more and more evident every day. And I feel very strongly, and I rarely feel this way about people being let go or fired. I feel very strongly that this is an effective lawyer and executive who has been overpromoted and needs to be removed as commissioner of the game. And I didn't see anything in the press in the 28 minutes of the press conference yesterday that says to me that he shouldn't be. There was no redeeming stuff. And there's even more, which we'll get to. But even bus tossing the Players Association yesterday and the Players Association being like, "Hold up, that's not what we discussed at all." What if there are more teams that are cheating? Like, what if it's not just the Astros and the Red Sox? What if this is widespread in Major League Baseball? Then what do we do? And the other question is, if there are multiple teams who are doing this, and if it is just the Astros and the Red Sox, do you trust the guy that you just heard from to make things right? It seems to me the vote of no confidence from the players has been pretty significant. On to the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks have a game tonight against the Rangers. They have lost 6 out of their last 7. Jeremy Colliton says his team needs more grit.
I think we just have to take care of our mentality. I think we played pretty hard the last 3 games of the trip. Obviously didn't get the results we wanted, but the challenge is to stick with it and continue to play that way and improve. I mean, we want to keep working at our game, and we feel there's more to get, but the biggest thing is we need to compete, we need to work, we need to have that edge to our game that I think for the most part we had, and then those results will come for us.
I don't know what happened, and they were on a nice little run, then they went up to Canada for a while and things didn't go well for them. The Rangers, by the way, are playing pretty well, and the Rangers are in town tonight. The Rangers have won 4 in a row, 11 out of their last 16. The Strome brothers will get a chance to play against each other tonight. Things are bad. Like it's back to what we thought the winner tenets of the United Center would be at the beginning of the season. The Blackhawks kind of gave us a couple flashes here and there throughout the season, but we're now back to, oh, they're bad too? Terrible. You know who's not bad? Well, at least not last night. The Illini. The Illini had lost 4 in a row. They had lost Io DeSumo to a knee injury, and then he came back in last night's game and did work.
DeSumo has it out top with 10. 58-56, Illinois down the lane. Floater!
They ended up winning that game. They beat number 9 Penn State on the road. They needed that win. That was a huge win for the Illini. They had had a 5-minute scoring drought that allowed Penn State, because they were in control of most of the first of the second half. Then they have a 5-minute drought. Penn State comes back into the game, and Dosunmu was like, I can play closer. Here's a little teardrop in the lane. He's a dynamic player, man. He really, really, he makes a difference.
I had my people texting me last night saying, that's an NBA player. What he's doing on the court versus Penn State, he has NBA-type moves, NBA-type height, and NBA-type game.
And apparently the Penn State bench and the fans were talking some trash, and he used that as motivation to help get the Illini the win. They're now 17-9. Yes, Campy?
You're Penn State in basketball. When have you ever not sucked?
I mean, they're number 19 in the country, though.
Yes, right now. When have you ever not sucked the point where you can do that?
They can talk trash right now. They got a top 10 team.
John Crispin? Joe Crispin?
It doesn't matter.
Seriously, those are the only Penn State basketball players you can name in their history.
John Amici.
That's all we got?
Okay, cool.
Anyone else? Does anyone go three deep on Penn State basketball players? Anyone? No?
I was so text close line? To thinking of that guy who plays in the NBA right now.
The text zone is brought to you, by the way, by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online. Listen, you. Here's the thing.
Tip of my tongue, and I forgot his name.
You can't look it up, because I know that there's a text that's going to look. No, it has to be an actual reaction. But you have to be like, yeah, I know a guy that played basketball at Penn State. Boom. We're not taking submissions like weirdest Penn State basketball player you can think of because you looked it up on Wikipedia.
Right,
because
that's all of them.
Correct. Campy's right, except the team this year is really good. So they were talking some trash because they were playing this year. The Crispin brothers have been mentioned. We have mentioned them. I said three deep. We already got two guys. So we need another one. Allen Robinson did not play basketball at Penn State.
Probably could have.
Maybe.
Cream Biggums.
Cream Biggums. Eh, you know what? I guess he did go to Penn State. Cream Biggums did play, but he didn't play basketball at Penn State. He's a street legend. Oh, that's good. Calvin Booth. That's good. That's all you got. That's only people who play basketball in the history of Penn State. The Crispin twins and Calvin Booth. That's it. We're done with this. So no more text messages on it. We have now decided that in the history of Penn State basketball, there have been three guys. No wonder they lost all those games. All right, on to the Cubs. Chris Bryant says that he is open to the idea of being a leadoff hitter.
It would be helpful. Yeah, of course, because it obviously is very different than doing it in college and then, you know, pro ball. But I think the biggest thing with hitting at the top of the order and leadoff and second is that fifth at bat. And that's always something that I tell in my head is like, I want that fifth at bat, you know. And I've done that for 5 years, going on a 6 year. So I think I have the right mindset to do it because I've always been the type to say, give me that fifth at bat because I want it.
What about center?
I love center field.
Okay, so KB has told you that he's cool with batting leadoff and he loves center field. I don't know what that means. I need to know what the manager thinks about that and where he thinks KB might be best in a lineup. And I know that Rossi has gone on record before saying that he likes stagnant lineups, but he has not managed a game yet. And he might find that through a 162-game schedule, he prefers to move people in the lineup. I understand Bryant hitting more often. You want your best players to hit more often. It's one of the frustrations I had with Tim Anderson hitting seventh a lot last year. The AL batting champ, you'd like for him to get more cuts, but apparently TA was all right batting seventh. Bryant says, hit me anywhere, but I like leadoff. Speaking of the White Sox, this is what Ricky Renteria had to say about Reynaldo Lopez.
Well, I saw him today. He was up and down a couple of times. There were some pitches that he made that were truly outstanding. I know that Coop has seen him.